Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. Debates over the nature of Christ have been going on almost since the beginning of Christianity. Some Gnostics in the early centuries of the Church's existence denied that Jesus actually became a human being. They said he looked like a man and seemed like a man, but he did not actually become a man. The Apostle John had that approach to Christ in mind when he wrote, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." 1 John 4:1-3. Others in those early centuries and in later times have accepted Jesus as a man, a great man perhaps, but just a man. Through the centuries, there have been thousands of influential philosophers like Friedrich Nietzsche and Bertrand Russell, theologians like Leslie Weatherhead and John Shelby Spong, and ordinary people who have questioned or denied the deity of Christ. In our day, the so-called Jesus Seminar has succeeded in creating doubts about Jesus Christ. The seminar participants have arrogantly set themselves above the teaching of Scripture and of good common sense. They use only their prejudices and biases to make decisions about Jesus Christ. They have ignored the enormous amount of scholarly work on the life and teachings of our Lord and Savior. The Tennessean, Friday, September 15, 2000, published an article with the title, "Theological Dispute Gets Book Pulled." Melanie McKinney of the newspaper staff wrote the article about Gwen Shamblin, the creator of the popular Way Down Workshop weight loss program. Shamblin says she does not believe in the equality of the Holy Trinity, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, because of her beliefs. Thomas Nelson Publishers decided not to publish her most recent book. Shamblin mentions the fact that the word Trinity does not appear in the Scriptures, a fact that every serious Bible student knows. She seems to think that because Jesus is the Son of God, and God sent the Holy Spirit, that makes God the Father the head. Page 1b. If God the Father is head, then Jesus and the Holy Spirit must be inferior to God. Is it possible they are semi-gods? There is one truth that cannot be successfully disputed. No one can believe the book of John and accept Gwen Shamblin's position. John 5 records the healing of an impotent man on the Jewish Sabbath. The man who had been healed told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. The Jews apparently were not concerned about the healing, but they were upset that it had been done on the Sabbath. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. John 5:15-16. Jesus responded to the Jews by saying, "My Father is working until now, and I work." John 5:17. The Jews understood that Jesus was claiming to be equal with God. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. John 5:18. Some modern theologians deny that Jesus was claiming equality with God, but the Jews had no doubt about his claim. If Jesus were not claiming equality with God, why did he not say to the Jews, "You have misunderstood what I am saying. I am a son of God, but I am not God"? Was Jesus so dishonest that he allowed the Jews to think he was claiming to be deity when he knew he was not deity? was our Lord not as honest as John the Baptist? On one occasion, some Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to learn who John was. They asked him, "Who are you?" John confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he says, "I am not. Are you that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said unto him, "Who are you?" That they might give an answer to those who had sent them. "What do you say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." John 1:19-22. Jesus Christ was the only completely honest person who ever lived. Is it even remotely possible he would deceive the Jews or anyone else about his mission? He could have stopped the idea that he was equal with God by simply denying it. But he did not do that because he is equal with God. Is that not what the Apostle John meant when he wrote, "And the Word, that is Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John 1:14. If Jesus were not equal with God, that would make him a second-class God, one who is not worthy of our worship. The Apostle Paul wrote, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." 1 Timothy 3:16. If Jesus were not equal with God, he fooled the apostles. They all believed he was God, not God the Father or God the Holy Spirit, but God the Son. That truth is fundamental to New Testament Christianity. After the Jews sought to kill Jesus because they understood his claim to be equal with God, he offered proof after proof that he was equal with God. He said, for example, "The Father raises the dead and gives them life." He then affirmed, "Even so the Son quickens whom he will." John 5:21. We know, both from experience and from reading Scripture, that ordinary human beings like us cannot raise dead people. Only God can raise the dead. Yet Jesus Christ has the power to raise whom he will. It is true that both Peter and Paul raised dead people, but through no power of their own. Jesus has power within himself to raise the dead. A simple syllogism may help us understand what is involved. Only God has the power to raise the dead. Jesus Christ has the power to raise the dead. Therefore, Jesus Christ is God. Let us consider one more argument for the deity of Christ. Only God has authority to judge men. I'm not denying the right of a superior court judge or an appellate judge to judge those who come before them. But no man has the authority to judge men's eternal destiny. Only God can do that. Please listen to Jesus Christ. "For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He who honors not the Son honors not the Father who sent him." John 5:22-23. Does it make sense to speak of anyone judging the entire human family, unless the one doing the judging has infinite knowledge? Only God has infinite knowledge. Does not this fact show that Jesus is equal with God? Furthermore, we must honor the Son just as we honor the Father. In the words of Henry Van Dyke, "The man who could claim equality with God is either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord." The Bible makes it very plain, and I believe, that Jesus is Lord. In this great chapter, Jesus provides a list of witnesses to his being equal with God the Father. The first of these witnesses was the great prophet John the Baptist. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bore witness unto the truth. But the witness I receive is not from man. But these things I say, that you might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a while to rejoice in his light. John 5:32-35. Concerning John the Baptist, the Apostle John said, "There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He, that is John the Baptist, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the light which lights the way of every man coming into the world." John 1:6-9. While the witness of John the Baptist was most significant, there were others who bore witness to Jesus Christ. The greatest witness to the deity of Christ was God the Father. Please listen carefully to ascertain if God taught Christ's equality with the Father. Jesus said, "But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the work that the Father has given me to do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me." John 5:36. The works the Father gave Jesus to do were the great miracles of the gospel. Do those miracles prove that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is equal with the Father? The truth is, they do not prove that. The miracles were intended to confirm that Jesus was what he claimed to be. He claimed to be the Son of God. Will you please give careful attention to a portion of our Lord's high priestly prayer? "And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was." John 17:5. Does this verse give you the impression that Jesus Christ had always existed with God the Father? What else could Jesus have had in mind when he told the Jews, "Before Abraham was, I am"? John 8:58. The Jews understood by the term "I am" that Jesus was claiming eternality, an attribute that belongs to God alone. John 17 records our Lord's high priestly prayer. He said, as I have just read to you, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was." John 17:5. That verse shows conclusively that Jesus Christ has always existed. "He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Revelation 1:8. Jesus used the same language of God the Father in Revelation 1:4. Please listen further to our Lord's prayer. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also who shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory that thou gavest me I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." John 17:20-23. Are Christ and God one, or is that a mere figure of speech? The truth is that all the New Testament books that deal with the topic affirm Christ's deity. For example, Paul says that Christians are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13. There is a rule of Greek grammar that says that when two nouns are joined together with the Greek chi, and, if the first noun has a definite article and the second does not, the two nouns refer to the same thing. So the terms "the great God" and "our Savior" refer to the same person, Jesus Christ. He is our great God and Savior. And how do you interpret Thomas's confession, "My Lord and my God"? John 20:28. if Jesus is not really Lord and God? Why did he not correct Thomas? The ancient theologians, such as Ignatius, Polycarp, and others, strongly affirmed the deity of Christ. Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John. He referred to Jesus as our Lord and God, Jesus Christ. Martin Luther, Zwingli, and John Calvin all believed in the deity of Christ. No one can read these men's books and not understand their commitment to Jesus Christ as God manifest in the flesh. Benjamin Warfield, the distinguished Princeton scholar, made these comments on the expression, Christ existed in the form of God, Philippians 2:6. The word form is a term which expresses the sum of those characterizing qualities which make a thing the precise thing it is. Christ is declared in the most express manner possible to be all that God is, to possess the whole fullness of attributes which make God, God. It is tragic in our day that members of various cults and New Age movements make claims to deity. For example, Shirley MacLaine, a New Age guru, claims she is God. In a 5-part series made for television, she stood up in a pool, raised her arms toward heaven, and exclaimed, I am God. I am that I am. If Shirley MacLaine is God, then God is a moral reprobate. Would God engage in morally compromising positions? Shirley MacLaine lived in a sexual relationship with a Russian filmmaker for 2 years. When the filmmaker questioned the morality of their conduct, Shirley MacLaine declared that right and wrong do not exist. If she is God, does she not have the authority to make that kind of judgment? Malkouch has recently edited a book with the title, Fundamentals for the 21st Century. The book contains 36 chapters written by prominent evangelicals. Paul Enns of the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Tampa, Florida, wrote an excellent chapter on the deity, the attributes, and the eternality of God the Son, pages 209 through 222. Dr. Enns quotes these words from Kenneth Copeland. You need to realize that you are not a spiritual schizophrenic, half God and half Satan. You are all God. Jesus was right standing with the Father during his earth walk, and the results he obtained were outstanding. As a child of God and joint heirs with Jesus, you should expect the same results. Jesus is no longer the only begotten Son of God. Pages 212 and 213. If that is not blasphemy, I would not know what to call it. Now let us turn briefly to the great book of Hebrews. Hebrews 1 contrasts angels, the one through whom the law of Moses was given, and Jesus Christ, the one who gave us the new covenant. The author of Hebrews shows conclusively that Jesus is greater in every way than the angels. Therefore, the gospel of Jesus Christ is superior in every way to the Mosaic covenant. For unto which of the angels did God ever say, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? His quotation is from Psalm 2:7. Did God ever say that to an angel? Absolutely not. But he said it to his Son. And again, when he brings the first begotten into the world, he, that is God, says, Let all the angels of God worship him. Hebrews 1, 5, and 6. Can you imagine God's allowing angels to worship any other than himself? The worship of angels constitutes idolatry. God commanded the angels to worship Jesus because Jesus is God, regardless of Gwen Shamblin's views. Do you remember what God the Father said about Jesus Christ, his Son? Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Hebrews 1, 8. New Agers like Shirley MacLaine may claim to be God, although every reasonable person knows better. Some cultic adherents argue that God was once a man like us, and we shall become like God is now. But the author of Hebrews was not quoting some New Ager or some cultic leader. He was quoting the very words of God the Father. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. When God the Father calls Jesus Christ God, there is no argument men can offer which contravenes the Word of God. Jesus Christ is God, since God the Father calls Him God. Does that mean Jesus Christ is equal to God? Absolutely. Jesus Christ is not some secondary or second-class God. The author of Hebrews continues to quote from God the Father, Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Hebrews 1:9. Christ's fellows or partners were angels. Christ was elevated above the angels. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. Hebrews 1:10. Is there any possibility these words could be used of an ordinary man or of angels? They can be applied only to God. God the Father refers to Jesus as Lord. The word Lord is used in the Old Testament of God the Father. God called Christ God in verse 8 and Lord in verse 10. If these words do not convince doubters of Christ's deity, what would it take? Please remember that these words did not originate with the apostles or with other early gospel preachers. They did not come from angels, although good angels knew who Jesus was. These are the very words of God Almighty. There is no higher authority in the universe. When God calls Jesus God and Lord, that settles all arguments forever. God affirms that Jesus in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of His hands. In other words, God Himself says that Jesus Christ is the creator of the heavens and the earth. That truth was very prominent in apostolic writings. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. John 1:3. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Colossians 1:15-16. Can such statements be made about anyone except God? Do not these verses establish Jesus as the Son of God, equal in every way with God the Father? My friend, Jesus is the one who has all authority. That means we must believe in Him and obey His gospel or be lost. Matthew 28:19-20, Mark 16:15-16. If you have not obeyed Him, will you not do it without delay? Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.